Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Hey, thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. And Kyle, today we're going to be talking about the power of giving people space. And when it comes to leadership, you know, and you look in and evaluate the different leadership styles, there's one of the core styles of leadership, and is the style of autonomy. It is that autonomous leader. And when you think about autonomous, it's like the visualization of a self-driving car comes to mind, where you are hands off and you're letting kind of whatever it is kind of steer itself and, right, and kind of do it. And you're giving that space, and it's a powerful strategy of leadership. And it's one that's really needed. It gives individuals the chance to see what they're capable of. It gives them space to be creative. It gives them space to think for themselves and to give them an opportunity to show you what they are able to produce. And really, you know, if you have gotten to the point where you've gained experience and you've, in many cases, you earned that autonomy. Like, hey, I don't need someone all over me, you know, and give me this autonomy, and it can be an incredible tool. But at the same time, it can also have disadvantages. You know, I think sometimes that autonomous leader, when they're hands off, they can feel disconnected from the team. You know, maybe they lack opportunities of teachable moments because they just weren't involved enough. You know, maybe the individuals are, you're giving them space, but they don't quite know what they should be doing. You know, that they're acting with a little bit of uncertainty, and they would actually, you know, want more of you. But it's an interesting dynamic, because if they get more of you, then at times they say, you're giving me too much of you, back off, like, give me some space, right? It's like, you know, what do you do there? So yeah, it's this, and, you know, we've all experienced that. It's like, we want freedom, but if our leader gives us too much freedom and too much space, you get frustrated that they're not engaged enough.
Yeah, you think they don't care, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they don't care. Maybe they're not as interested. Maybe they're not as invested. They're not pouring into me as much. But if they overcompensate and pour into you too much and become too engaged and too involved and too invested, then you know, individuals get frustrated that, you know, you're not giving me space to kind of think for myself, to, you know, bring it to life. You know, I'm just becoming robotic to your instructions. I'm just doing what you tell me to do. You know, let me breathe. Let me be creative. Let me figure it out on my own. Let me learn from my mistakes. And it's a really interesting balancing act, a dance of sorts. And, you know, frankly, it's a dance that we've got to get right with the younger generation specifically. You know, I've been doing a lot of studying for some different things, you know, some keynotes and such that I've been delivering on, you know, how to best lead the Gen Z, this younger generation. And yeah, it's really interesting. During some of those studies of research, there was one poll that I came across where they interviewed 3,000 Gen Zers. And when we talk Gen Zer, let's just say the younger generation, roughly maybe between 18 and 29. And I bring this up because most of us listening to this podcast, We are engaged in some form of leadership with young people. So it's very applicable to kind of where we are. Now, this is in tune to the workplace for Gen Zers, but don't think it doesn't apply, because it's still the mindset of the Gen Zers, whether that's in our sports space, whether it's in our classrooms, et cetera. But if they ask them, what is the number one thing you want from your leader? And 3,000 individuals polled, 40%, Kyle, you ready for this?
And I want to 40%. This is big.
40%. So it's a large number. 40% of those 3,000, their number one thing they said was they want to be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't going to be my first guess for 40%, but that's interesting.
But it makes sense, right? I mean, you think about these young people, you know, you could hear that statistic and think, you want to be trusted. Well, what have you done to earn the trust? You haven't earned the trust yet. And you could certainly wrestle with that. But you think back to that mindset, you know, so often, and, you know, they think they know it all. They think they've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? You probably experienced that in your own world, right?
Yeah. I think back to conversations I had with parents and friends and family members, just thinking that you've got it figured out. Once you get out, you get on your own, you graduate high school, graduate college, like, okay, I got life figured out. This is the way it's going to be. And you learn quickly that you were very misguided in that thought and that belief, and your limited experiences lead to that. So definitely can relate to the feeling you've got it figured out. Here we go. Give it to me. You're just not.
It's so interesting. And, you know, and I think what has in turn happened is that many leaders, when leading young people, they do at times give them space. They give them freedom. They give them autonomy in some regard, because there's a tendency to want to shy away from being overbearing or suffocating, or let's say in the workplace, you hear the term micromanaging. No one wants those stigmas. So we lean this way to freedom and autonomy because, yeah, you know, you want to give them space to be what they want to be, right? And bring it to life and kind of tap into that desire. But it's really interesting when you continue studying that survey there, the next data point right below the 40%, the second thing they want, and it is a close second, 37%. Here's what they say, Kyle. They want to be supported. What the heck?
Yeah.
One end,
a little bit of the opposite paradigm.
Trust me, give me freedom, give me space, give me autonomy, right? On the flip side, they're like, hey, don't forget about me. Can you please support me? Which then ties into all these different connections of coaching and relationship and engagement and instruction and serving alongside them, all these different areas of how you would capture this theme of support. And it forces us to recognize both of those realities are what they want.
Yeah, they want, for sure, both. Yeah, it's the reality. It's definitely a need that they have. And it's for us as coaches and leaders trying to figure out, how do you provide that in a way that is productive for both, beneficial for them.
Yeah. And how do you manage that relationship between the two? And how do you essentially get those two areas to dance with one another? Knowing that, frankly, they don't know per se what they ultimately want. Yes, studies show trust and support. But here's the reality. If you go too heavy with the trust and give them the space, as I alluded to earlier, they'll hold it against you.
Mm-hmm.
You go too heavy with the support, they'll hold it against you. And you've got to figure that out. And I think that's where the emotional intelligence and our leadership comes into play, where can you read the other person? Can you understand what's at stake in front of them? What are they going through? What's the task being given to them? You know, and manage all of those dynamics through your social awareness to best be able to manage the relationship is the dance. And for us today, we're going to be talking specifically, though, about the part of the space. You got to get both engaged. But today, we're just going to be talking about the power of giving them the space. And, space between. And when I think about that, Kyle, when we give our players space, and I say this because some of our players don't necessarily have space. There are many instances where coaches, they engage in their type A personality, where they want to control many facets of the program. And they're so proud of the program, but in that pride of their program, it has actually gotten to this place where the coach has their identity so wrapped up in the program that everything runs through them. Their self-worth, their security as an individual is tied to the achievements and accomplishments of the program. So there's so much at stake of the program and the well-being of the coach that then in turn causes the coach to lean so heavily into their controlling factors of every facet of the program, because how the program performs essentially will impact their well-being of their mental health and all of that.
Yeah.
That in some cases, they don't give space. They don't give freedom to the players. They are controlling so many facets. And I think when you enter into that controlling space without giving the space, I actually think you create some detriments. And that's where we're going to kind of bridge as we talk about some of the traps of controlling too much and some of the benefits of giving space. What are you processing right now?
Yeah, being in that space for such a long time as the coach, and then now through the work that we do, getting to see it from all sports and all lenses now, you know, ultimately the success of the program is tied to the coach. So there's that identity piece there. And realizing now with today's athletes that those numbers are true. They want to feel that they're trusted to go out and perform, to do their job, to be successful in that. But I feel like they also want to know that you have their back at the end of the day. That's part of like the feeling supported. So that's where you have to balance that role of being able to give them the ability to go out and play. Like you think about that, you want your athletes to react. You want them to play fast, not overthink, not overanalyze. So you've got to tell them what to do. You've got to teach them how to react. You got to teach them the situation and what's expected. But then they also have to feel supported that if there is a mistake made, you know, I think that's where a lot of the support comes from maybe for today's kids, is that if they go out and they make a mistake, they miss a block, they drop a ball or something like that, that they know there's going to be that level of support. And especially for the younger athletes, that is something that, you know, sometimes right or wrong, the coach is maybe the first one that's actually teaching accountability to them. And when they're going through that process of learning what to do, how to play, how to go out and perform at a high level, that when they're challenging the athlete in a way that's helping them get better, that's got to do so in a way where they feel supported. Because I think for a lot of the kids, just the natural tendency sometimes is they are looking at it maybe through the wrong lens, or they've never had anyone actually offer the support behind the correction, whether it's in the classroom or whether it's through sports. So I think that's really important for a lot of our kids today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree that balance is so, so key. And, you know, part of this topic is so relative right now as we're recording this. It's like fresh in my mind, thinking about the power of space when you do it intentionally and what can be generated from it. As we record here today, I'm fresh off the heels of a very interesting training that I had a chance to host. And for those that are familiar, you know, I teach a couple days a month in the Leadership Institute at Towson University. It's a corporate institute. So it's not for students at Towson. And Towson's a university here in Baltimore, in Maryland. And it's growing. It's growing significantly. And they need more facilitators. And I was tasked with the responsibility of building out a two-day workshop to how to become a world-class facilitator. And I was spending 2 days with 10 facilitators that they have brought onto the team that, frankly, are all really good. they all have been doing this for a living. They're all experts, you could say. And, you know, they've got years of experience. And we had to build a two-day kind of training for them on how to become a world-class facilitator. It was a very interesting, powerful 2 days. And the whole first day was all hands-on learning, tips, strategies, techniques, different approaches. And it was fantastic, fantastic. The second day was the practicum, where all 10 of them were going to get a chance to kind of put into action all the things they learned in day one. And we did it in two ways, where the first half, they actually had to deliver a 15-minute facilitated, quote-unquote, workshop. 15 minutes, they were given a single topic, and the facilitation, they had to engage the room and bring the room in and do all those things of facilitation, discussion and interaction and, you know, processing and maybe activity, exercise. They were given full freedom and reign to do it however they want. They were given a topic, 15 minutes. I want you to facilitate this theme with this audience. Go. Okay. And we were the audience.
Okay.
The second half of the day, they each were given a topic where they had to deliver a 2 to 3 minute keynote / TED Talk style, one way deliverable, full of however they wanted to in line of their personality to move the room, to bring the room in. No interaction, no facilitation. It's more of a one-way deliverable.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, Kyle, because part of the curriculum that is taught down in the Institute of Towson is the Lead 'Em Up curriculum. I'd say about 40% of our Lead 'Em Up curriculum is taught down in the Institute. We negotiated a licensing agreement a few years back, which I think is really cool. It speaks to the power of the curriculum.
It's incredible, yeah.
Here in Lead 'Em Up, that it's, you know, there's exercises like followership and sugar and salt. And these exercises are really deeply embedded in emotional intelligence and work in so many different levels, not just in our sports and athletics and our classrooms for young people, but even in the highest level of corporations.
Applies to everybody. Yeah.
It applies to everyone. But what was incredible, Kyle, let me just share what they were. Each of the different areas of facilitation and keynotes, we basically took all the areas of the curriculum and those were the themes that they had to bring to life. So it actually created a dual level learning for all the facilitators. We were evaluating each of facilitator and, you know, critiquing them and assessing them and learning from them. So it was an incredible day of learning, watching and evaluating. I mean, imagine spending a whole day doing nothing but discussing, dissecting, breaking down public speakers and facilitators.
Like,
and
what like worked a coaching what clinic. Yeah. Coaching.
It was incredible. It was an incredible experience, but they were tasked in many cases of that, you know, to teach the content in the Institute. So it actually gave everyone that was in the audience, all the facilitators, as they are being brought on board, the opportunity to also learn the curriculum while we also learn the art of facilitation. So it had two approaches there. But many of the things that the facilitators had to teach on in these role play practicums were Lead 'Em Up set trainings. And it was crazy. We gave them no instruction, full freedom and autonomy.
Yeah. So you're getting,
and some of them wanted more instruction. Some of them wanted more instruction. We'd get, you know, get emails. So like, what exactly are you looking for us to do in these 15? What do you want us to do? And I would say to them, I'd say, you know, part of the exercise, I can't give you the instruction. I'm just saying 15 minutes, that topic, facilitate it. You have to put the meat on the bone. You have to bring it to life. You have to enrich the subject matter in a way that will land with us. I'm not giving you any instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle, let me tell you what I saw yesterday. Leon was in the room too. Changed my life. It changed my life.
That's powerful.
Because
statement.
We always talk about there are levels to things. We always bring that up. I'm always like, man, there's levels to this. You may be good, but there's levels to this. Hey, let's be very coachable because there's levels to this. Same applies for me, all of us. And I'm sitting here in a room yesterday watching these master facilitators, these experts, take Lead 'Em Up content that we've been teaching for years, bro, years.
Right.
And facilitate it in a way that I was like, oh my goodness, that was good. good.
Hey, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Great leaders focus on results and relationships. The power is found in the word and. As leaders, we tend to have a natural bias to lead one way or the other. It's typically results or relationships. In fact, less than 1% of leaders can do both really well. Some of the leaders in my restaurant are aggressive about the results. They like to get things done. They like to talk about the numbers. They tend to focus more on the what rather than the who. While other leaders are passionate about developing deeper relationships with the people around them. They want to know what makes people tick, who does what best. They take the time to learn the hopes and dreams of those on their team. It's being able to do both that really brings success, but that doesn't mean it comes easy. So the challenge for my leaders and the challenge I have for you is to know what your bias is, acknowledge it, and then look for ways to compensate. Now let's jump back into the episode.
Holy smokes, that was good.
Yeah, I wish I was there. That would have been cool.
Moved us. Presented in a way and just a different style and a different approach and a different lens that was incredible. And I think one of the incredible benefits of autonomy is you get to see other people and what they are capable of. And it actually at times begins to allow for new breath of fresh air, new life to be brought into something. You know, right. One of the facilitators said to me after, said, you know, I know there's like training videos on this material. I'm so glad you didn't give us the videos. Because what would have happened is it would have answered their emails per se, where they said, hey, can you give me more structure and guidance? It would have helped them. But as the individual said, we all just would have mirrored the video trainings. We all now are our scope of what was possible, our scope of what could have been brought to life, of what we could have done would have been extremely limited.
Yeah, it would have put them in a box kind of per se. Everyone's working out of that same model.
100%. And all of a sudden, the day and the richness and the creativity and all of that was brought to life through the creativity that we allowed through the space that we provided. And although it would have helped them, this is part of that dance. Because there's a tendency when someone says, can you give me more structure? Can you give me more instruction? Like, what exactly? Because I can imagine they're sitting there like, well, where do I go with this? Like, what are you expecting of me? And they desperately are fiending for that guidance. And I just show the restraint in these moments. And it actually produced wonderful results. And that can be the power of space. And think about the power of space with our people that we lead.
Right. You know, I used to do something similar in my classroom. It was a big capstone thing, and it came from Google's 20% time that they gave their employees. So we modified it, and I've been sharing this with a lot of our classroom teachers, like things that they can do with the Lead 'Em Up curriculum. And we give them genius hour time. And in that time, you're not specifically telling the students what to do. You're giving them, like you gave yesterday at this conference, you give them a framework and you give them a lane and you basically say, take it and run with it. I want to see what you create with it. And the challenge for a lot of people, the young people starting, is that for so long they've been told, what to do and how to do it. And so when you give someone the freedom to create through their own eyes, it can lead to this almost paralysis because they're so used to not having that freedom, not having autonomy. And now all of a sudden they get to come up with their own ideas on how to do things, how to present things. And then that's where I found my role as the leader in the classroom was to be the person that supported them in their ideas, saying, oh, I love it. Go for it. You know, take the ball, run with it, create it. So they need to feel that support and then going back to, you know, that other 40% on the trust, is that you're going to trust what they present, that it's going to be something valuable. So if I'm going to give them that freedom to create, I can't micromanage every step
the result
they're doing. Yeah, I can't tell them what that's going to look like. So for me, that becomes a challenge at first, because I've never done that before. And for them, they've never had anyone give them that freedom before. So when we apply that to sports, I think that's where, you know, you're giving them the challenge of leading their teammates, but doing so in a way where you're there to support them when they come to you. You're checking in, but you're not telling them, hey, I need you to lead your teammate by going over here and saying this exact thing to them. So it's that balance. And like you said, it requires a lot of emotional intelligence, because you have to have a relationship. You have to have a rapport built with them. And then you also have to be willing to not know exactly what it's going to look like and go through that process with them. And for so much, like, that's the beauty of speaking, the beauty of sports, the beauty of art, and just creating, is the space in between, the unknown, and allowing someone to tap into that.
And, you know, it's really interesting when you're leading someone, you're on a journey with them. And typically, as the journey goes along, you're continuing to learn about each other and learn about their strengths and weaknesses, and learning how they respond to certain things and how much you should insert yourself. One of the things that giving space does for you, it will allow you to gain deeper understanding in how to best lead them moving forward. Because when you give them that space now, you are really putting on the table and giving them a chance to show you what they are capable of and what they have within their potential. And it's powerful. So going back to that, the facilitation, you know, had I put restraints on it in that instruction, then all of a sudden, you know, everyone would have kind of operated within this framework, within the box that you alluded to. And all of a sudden, we would have gone through and I would have seen what they've done, but I wouldn't have been able to get the insight that I need to better lead them in the future. Because yesterday, allowing space, I actually saw where they shine. I saw what they could do. And I also saw areas that they weren't good in, right? There were areas, because at the end of each facilitation, we evaluated them. And there were some areas they couldn't get to. And seeing that, then all of a sudden, you know, as I'm sitting there knowing, like, I'll probably be working with them in various capacities moving forward, I'm over here, I'm getting insight into how to better lead them in the future, where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are, what That's areas horrible, do they yeah. lean into, you know, what, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, man, someone, you know, if someone wants this type of facilitation, oh, that's that person. Oh, they will rock that one out. Their personality, their strength. I'm able to gain this kind of comprehensive understanding because I gave them space to show me on display who they are, what they are, where they're at, what they're capable of. And that's invaluable. And if you don't give them space, that you won't truly know that, because they will just stay within the confines of the restrictions you gave them, that you won't gain deeper understanding. Right. So it almost has to happen as you go on the journey that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I think about Samantha and I. We've been married going on 18 years, and like we say this now, like, our relationship's in the best spot it's ever been. And I think we're understanding each other greater than we've ever understood. And some of that takes time, 18 years, a lot of time, right? But it's just understanding the true nature of who that other person is, because over the years, you've given them space. Like, you've watched them, you've observed them, you see what they're capable of, you know where they struggle, you know where they need help, you know where you need to jump in. And I don't believe if we don't give space to people, you never truly understand that. You never truly know what you have.
Right. In the coaching world, that equates to you've got to let them go out and play. You can't micromanage every second of practice. You know, you've got to put them in situations where they react and they're out there and they have to perform and show you what they can do. Same like parenting, you know, for your girls, my boys, we've got to give them the space to fail and go out and see what they can do in those moments, how they react to certain situations, the pressures, all those things that come along throughout life. And then that's where you're able to see, okay, these are the areas that I know he needs me to guide him a little bit better. Or these are some areas where I can give him complete freedom and autonomy. But like you said, that doesn't happen if I'm the one controlling every situation. For young coaches out there, I know I made that mistake when I was early in my like head coaching career, because I wanted to be so good at the fundamentals and really prided our team on that. But I realized I didn't give them enough time to just play during practice. And like later on, I had to back off of being so drill oriented and so like skill focused that there were moments in games where I knew they weren't necessarily fully prepared because I had tried to make sure everything was taken care of before that. And sometimes they just have to go out and play. Sometimes they have to have that confidence from being able to do something comes from the failing in practice. And that's what I realized is like, I needed to give them more space, allow them to go out and play in these conditions and not step in and try to correct everything in the moment. And they get to go through that process and learn a little bit themselves. And then afterwards, I become more of that guiding figure again.
You brought up parenting, which triggered a thought in my mind. I just recently read a book, Bad Therapy, Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up by Abigail Schreier. And she makes a point in there that there's a lot of detriment being done in parenting. And she uses this little connection that there is too much control over our kids in real life, or too much oversight over our kids in real life, and a lack of oversight in our kids in their digital life.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting thing, right? It's like, you know, the parents in real life are like, instruction, you know, hands-on, you know, the parents hands-on serving their kids and everything. Hey, don't do that. Don't do this. Right. And like really trying to kind of put bubbles around their kids, you know, to protect their kids and such. And, you know, she just makes comment, you know, but digitally, we don't even know what's happening on those screens. You know, we don't even know half the things they're watching.
Scary.
You know, it is very scary, but the point I'm making here is like, there is this excessive oversight, this overprotecting, this controlling and suffocating nature that parents are kind of exhibiting over their kids as they try to protect them or feel like they're protecting, or as they're serving their kids, you know. But, you know, it's so interesting when you think about serving, you go in with great intentions, thinking it's going to be a catalyst to their growth, but it ends up becoming a crutch.
It reminds me of the butterfly metaphor. Are you familiar kind of with that when it comes to this approach to like parenting and kind of coaching? Is like, there's, as a parent and even as a coach, you love your kids so much. But just from the parent lens, let's talk, is that you want to protect your kid from feeling pain. You don't want them to experience that. For so many parents, they try to basically dictate what life is like. So it's kind of like the boy, and the story goes, is the boy's outside one day, young kid, and he sees a butterfly that's struggling to emerge from the cocoon. And the natural tendency for that young child is he wants to help the butterfly. He wants to free him from that cocoon. And in doing so, he just goes over there and he cracks the cocoon, breaks it open, and then frees the butterfly. But in that, he eliminates the struggle that was needed for the butterfly to actually form the power in his wings. By struggling through that cocoon, it actually forces the fluids to the wings and builds up that strength that's needed for the butterfly to fly. But if you break it, it never develops. And so later on, that butterfly dies because it doesn't have the ability to fly. And you think about like the broken adults in our world today. And I know people personally, where you look at them and you say like so much of like where they're at or lack of progress or where they're at in their adult lives comes from people who didn't give them the space to fail and didn't really hold them to a standard. And they basically said, okay, this is a problem. I'm going to go take care of it for you. Teacher give you a bad grade. I'm going to go talk to the teacher for you instead of you talking to the teacher about what you can do to implement it. So there's that balance that you've got to give space, but then you've also got to support in the right way, but not in a way that eliminates the fluid from going to the wings. That's something that I always think about with like kids, whether it's my own or athletes or anyone like that, is not being the person that breaks the cocoon for them. Like they have to go through the struggle. They have to go through the pain, but then that's where you come along as the guide, the mentor, the supporter afterwards.
And I'm so glad you talked about afterwards. First of all, that butterfly illustration was fantastic. And I totally see the visual and so, so good. And I love that you talked about after, because I think the space, kind of to the point I was making earlier, it then gives you your direction as a leader for where to go after. You see, what are they capable of? What can they do? And then based on the space that you gave people, now you begin to craft your strategy of leading that person. You begin to adjust and maneuver. And you know what? Maybe you do need to jump back in and control certain things because that person wasn't able to do it, right? Or they showed, as you gave them space, the inability to kind of get there. Maybe you need to jump back in and step back into your coaching, right? Maybe step back into your instructional lens to really teach them and lead them up because they weren't able to do it. Or maybe you do need to take it from them and kind of begin doing it yourself, right? Because they're just not prepared for it. But you don't know you need to get to that place unless you give them the space to kind of show you and maybe learn and maybe fail. I don't know what will happen, but there's just so much power in the space.
Now, it is.
Once again, it's a dance. And as I mentioned earlier, we're only going to be talking about the space today. Okay. There's another side where you've got to be careful about what that space will do. And some things you can't give space to because the consequences, if it gets wrong, are too detrimental. They're too heavy. You can't afford to kind of, but recognizing, oh my gosh, having this tension in your head, and tension is not always a bad thing, right? Tension, the pulling of two things. Sometimes the tension can actually strengthen it. When it's too relaxed, it actually doesn't hold the support, but you kind of create the tension. It can be really powerful. The tension knowing that, like, all right, maybe I am someone that wants to jump in, but let me just hold this tension in my head. That Adam, you know what? There are some moments where you gotta give them the space. You gotta let them run. You gotta go and just wrestle with that. And try to find, once again, we always say in leadership, when we talk about different styles and approaches and you talk about emotional intelligence and different things, what is the best leadership approach? What is the best leadership style? It is the one most needed in the moment.
Right.
The one most needed in the moment. And you just got to wrestle with it. Okay. In this moment, based on all the circumstances, factors, where we're at, mate, what's the best one? And maybe it is space and recognizing all the power and benefit that can come from giving that space. Maybe will lead you to a position where you give it in those moments. In light of today's kind of episode, maybe that will move you. Maybe that the thought provoking is, hey, where can I intentionally and appropriately start giving space, freedom, autonomy to people to give them the opportunity to grow? Evaluate that in your life if you're listening to this and see if there's some areas in your leadership where you could bring that out and manage it, monitor it, learn from it, and allow that to be an incredible strength of your leadership, the ability to give space and that autonomy in the moments when they're most needed. Hey, appreciate you listening. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Until next time, we are out.